The situation is in Australia is enormous amounts of leverage, very much the same kind of risk factors we saw in Iceland and Ireland and other places that have suffered the consequences since. There's an incredibly high level of personal debt and private debt throughout the economy, not just personal, but corporate, for instance, and banking system debt. There's less in the way of public debt, but it's the private debt that really is at the heart of the issue that causes the economy to seize up. One of the major reasons that there's such a high level of personal debt is that there's an absolutely enormous housing bubble in Australia today. Not just in Australia by any means, but there certainly is one of the largest in the world here. So the big three housing bubbles in city terms are Hong Kong, Vancouver in Canada, and Sydney. But it's not just Sydney. There are many, many cities in Australia that have enormously inflated housing prices. In other words, there's a very long way to fall. When the credit is withdrawn and people can't get mortgages anymore and interest rates go through the roof, which they will, soon as debt is perceived to be risky, the interest rates will go through the roof. People won't be able to service that debt. They won't be able to access mortgages. The pool of buyers will disappear. And then there will be no price support at anything remotely like current levels. So housing prices have a very long way to fall. There's going to be an absolute epidemic of negative equity where people owe more than their house is worth and then they can't sell. So the market will be illiquid and then prices will be coming down. So this is going to cause a major amount of pain in Australia. Now this is a commodity exporting economy with a big trade dependency. Very globalized, looking very much out to the rest of the world, feeding 60 million people all over the world with agricultural exports, exporting enormous amounts of resources to China, and importing an awful lot as well. But when trade starts to fall apart, that model doesn't work so well. Australia badly needs a plan B that involves looking more internally and focusing on self-sufficiency. So the business model for Australia at the moment could best be summed up as dig it up and sell it to China as quickly as you possibly can. So, of course, there's a massive dependence on what's happening in China. This is a major vulnerability because it's an enormous overexposure to something that's actually going to prove to be extremely risky. But the success of the mining sector in recent years has pushed up your currency to the point where your manufacturing became uncompetitive, so an awful lot of it got offshored. So you don't make as many things in Australia as you used to. There's less self-sufficiency here than there was years ago because there's been such a focus on the mining sector. But mining is starting to find itself in a world of hurt now, mostly because of the effect of falling Chinese demand. And when mining contracts start to get cancelled and unemployment starts to go up in Western Australia, there are going to be effects ricocheting throughout the country. The good news here, though, is you have a pretty decent resource base and you don't have a ridiculous number of people living here. Yes, the carrying capacity is not that high either, but if you did focus more internally, there's actually a great deal that Australia could do to be vastly more self-sufficient than it currently is. So the good news is that the transition to something workable can be done. But the sooner you start doing it, the better it will go. There's a large banking vulnerability here. So the banks are enormously overleveraged. They're entirely disproportionate to the size of the host country's GDP, and their health rests on an extraordinarily overvalued asset base, not just homes, but commercial real estate and land as well. So all of these assets are overvalued, and it's lending on those assets that rests the foundations of the banking system. So those foundations are going to be very shaky. Be very aware of banking system instability. There's a tremendous amount of complacency here, not just here, in the entire developed world, really. Human beings only really have two operating modes. There's complacency, and then there's panic. And there's not a whole lot in between. I'm trying to create a sort of useful third space, a kind of informed sense of urgency as to the need to do things differently. Because this really is quite urgent. This isn't something that can wait for our children and grandchildren to address. We've been encouraged for years and years, as we scaled everything up, to upload responsibility for almost everything to some higher level of governance. What we need to do now, urgently, is to download responsibility to say, we are the ones we have been waiting for, and what are we going to do about it? Don't expect your government to tell you anything. They're not really in a position to. It really isn't something where the solutions are going to come from the top down. If we want to be proactive, we have to work at a small scale. We have to do things ourselves and say, how can we reinvent our society from the bottom up?